This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. Bethel's Caribou Traders liquor store closed this past weekend, permanently. And today, the town has officially re-entered dam status for the first time since 2009. There will be new rules residents must follow to avoid breaking the law. There are limits on how much alcohol Bethel residents can possess and bring in. You can bring in 10.5 liters of distilled spirits, 24 liters of wine, or 12 gallons of beer, or a half keg of beer. If you fly to Bethel with more than a certain amount of alcohol, you will need to clearly label your luggage as containing alcohol, and you will need to attach an itemized invoice to your baggage. Those requirements apply if you're bringing in more than 2 liters of wine, a gallon of beer, or a liter of distilled spirits. The state of Alaska will also track how much alcohol you order per month in a database that is inaccessible by the general public. Two alcohol-related crimes also have more severe penalties under local option. Both bootlegging and providing alcohol to a person under the age of 21 will become felonies. The law will continue to allow purchases of wine and beer at Bethel restaurants. Next, in Real ID news. Starting October 1st, Alaskans will need Real ID compliant identification to board commercial airlines, access military bases, and enter federal facilities. Department of Motor Vehicles offices issue these IDs, but these offices don't exist in most rural communities. To bridge the gap, the Eek Traditional Council is preparing to bring the DMV to its community. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur talked with the man working to make it happen.
Micah Heakin runs the gaming department for the Eek Traditional Council. Recently, he asked the council to pay for DMV workers to come to Eek to issue real IDs to residents. The council accepted his pitch.
Some of these people don't have the funds to go into Bethel and get this done.
Bethel has the closest DMV office to Eek. Round-trip tickets cost about $250.
So if you're bringing your whole family, that's going to cost quite a bit.
And trips to Bethel are often tight turns, scheduled around hospital appointments and shopping for goods and groceries to take back to the village. As for Heakin, he already has his real ID.
I got mine in Anchorage from the UMV.
What is the UMV?
They're like the DMV, but they... you pay a little bit more, but there's a shorter line.
That shorter line cost $80 at the private UMV as opposed to $40 at the state-run DMV. But the process for getting his real ID wasn't without delays. Applying for a real ID can require up to 6 different documents. One of the document options is a Social Security card, which Heakin didn't have. So he applied for one.
There was a mix-up, and they sent me one that had the wrong name on it, or they misspelled my name, so I had to send it back. I sent it out in the end of April, and I got the actual card towards the end of June.
This process of finding documents and acquiring the ones you don't have can take a while. So Heakin wants to make sure people have all their documents before bringing DMV workers to town. One of the trickiest documents for village residents can be proof of physical address. Houses in Eek aren't numbered, but Heakin found a document that worked.
My PFD application.
Heakin is using Facebook and paper flyers posted around town to get the word out, asking people to sign up to get a real ID and confirm their documents. Once he has at least 30 people with everything in order, he'll book a date with the DMV to fly to Eek. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Continuing in Real ID news, one rural Alaska representative wants Governor Mike Dunleavy to ask President Donald Trump for an extension of the Real ID deadline and additional funding for outreach in rural communities. Senator Donnie Olson wrote to the governor last week saying that both Dunleavy and President Trump have a responsibility to ensure the ID mandate is implemented properly so that Alaskans' rights to travel are not infringed upon. Alaskans in remote communities especially rely on air travel for medical appointments, and he says they're concerned.
Let's say that somebody out of Shishmaref or Savunga goes ahead and is medevaced straight to Anchorage. If they get down there and don't have a real ID, they will be prohibited from getting on the jet to come back to Nome and go back to their respective villages.
Alaskans are not able to apply by mail, meaning many village residents, like Senator Olson himself, will have to fly to their nearest DMV location in hub cities such as Nome or Bethel.
So here in Gallivan, to go to Nome, it's $190. That's $380 round trip.
Olson's letter follows a December announcement from Commissioner of the Department of Administration Kelly Shibaka asking for $60,000 in outside donations to create a rural outreach program to help rural Alaskans obtain the Real ID. Olson calls the mandate unwanted and writes to Dunleavy the state should be doing everything possible to reach out to every rural Alaskan to be Real ID compliant for the October 1st deadline. He suggests a rural outreach program where officials would make multiple visits to villages. And finally, a new facility quietly opened in Anchorage last April. It was built to better handle sexual assault investigations. It's part of the Anchorage Police Department's effort to change policies for handling violent sexual crime. As Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, law enforcement and nonprofits are collaborating on measures that put the needs of victims and survivors at the center of how the state responds to sexual assaults.
In an industrial patch of midtown Anchorage, there's a brand new building designed to help people at one of the worst points in their lives.
It's very private. The windows are all frosted and people can't see in.
Lieutenant Sean Henry commands APD's team handling sex crimes against children and adults. His police staff is just one of the groups housed in a new $12 million facility built by medical and philanthropic groups to improve how sexual assault and abuse victims are treated.
The goal is to reduce further trauma to the victims.
Henry says for more than a decade, APD and its partners in Anchorage have been refining what's called the SART model. That stands for Sexual Assault Response Team. The idea, Henry says, is that you bring all the resources a person needs after an assault under one roof. Police, investigators, medical professionals, counselors, and advocates.
By having all those resources in one building, we can minimize the number of encounters they need, because a lot of people don't really want to come back for more interviews and do things. So we can kind of do it all at once. We can have the nurses here, we can do the interviews, we can collect evidence, and that really does help out the victim in minimizing further trauma.
Over the last few decades, the SART model has become the preferred standard among police departments and advocacy groups. Historically, a victim would report a crime, then have multiple interviews and appointments spread over days, generally in different places, and often with the onus for follow-up on them. This, Henry and others say, was bad for a lot of different reasons. The main one is that in the wake of an assault, repeatedly recounting the incident can cause further harm. Keely Olson is the executive director of the nonprofit Standing Together Against Rape.
So having them only have to tell their story in, you know, the detail that is needed for an investigation to occur, for that to only happen once, and to not be subjected to having to meet with multiple people or travel around is ideal.
When an assault is reported and the SART team activated, STAR is one of the groups that sends someone to assist the victim in whatever ways they need. Olson says the multidisciplinary center is a physical realization of the victim-centered approach stakeholders in Anchorage have been moving closer to for years.
We have individual suites, we have a waiting room, we've got more space. Again, it's not hospital focused. It's a very private, confidential location where people can go for this service.
One of the other major reasons law enforcement and advocates prefer the SART model is that it helps build better court cases. According to Olson, years of seeing cases fall apart taught advocacy groups that conducting multiple interviews created inconsistencies that defense attorneys could successfully exploit at trial. Lieutenant Henry says APD's arrest rate in adult sex crime cases is around 15%, which sounds low, except
the national standard, I think, from the last class I sat through was averaging 4 to 5%.
Henry says in a six-month period last year, there were 660 cases that came through the facility, 250 of which were ultimately assigned to detectives. And that doesn't include crimes against children, which are handled separately. Henry says in the last few years, reports of sexual assaults have steadily been going up, something he attributes to more tools for people to report when something's happened and better coordination among nonprofits, hospitals, schools, and law enforcement. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.